this will be ready. Psalm 13. If you've never had a trial and if you've never suffered any pain as a Christian, then this is not for you. However, if you are a Christian and you have ever had a trial, then this will be a blessing to you, because David wrote it in the midst of a very deep trial in his own life, and we can learn so much from this psalm this morning. Psalm 13, we'll read the whole thing, beginning in verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I've trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. So our title is, How Long? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray now that you would use your word in our lives. We are grateful for the privilege to assemble around Jesus Christ and his word. And pray now that we'd open our hearts to hear from you, push aside distractions, and allow the Holy Spirit to work miracles through the piercing sword of the Word of God. May you be glorified in this service. We give it to you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, it's okay to ask God how long. It's not okay to get angry with God. It's not okay to argue with God or complain. But it's okay to be honest with God. And that's what we see here, David just being honest with God in his pain and his suffering. And, you know, David was a man after God's own heart, but David went through a lot of major trials in his life. He went through major trials before he became king, when he was being chased by Saul. And then after he was king, many trials that came from his children who tried to steal away the kingdom. But it's okay to be honest with God. And remember that as we go through this passage this morning. If we could, let's look quickly, Psalm 15, verse 2, just over to the right two books. And I wanted to show you, it's okay to be honest with God. Remember when we went through the book of Job, and Job even asked God the question, Lord, why? Why am I going through all of this? He didn't understand. And notice Psalm 15:2, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. God already knows everything anyway, but he wants us to be honest. You know, the Lord says in Psalm 145:18, that God is nigh to all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. God wants us to be honest about our pain, and that's what David's doing here. But in the midst of our pain, oftentimes our feelings get us into trouble, don't they? And we start thinking wrong and we start believing wrong. That happened to Elijah. Remember when Elijah, he was a great man, but there was a time there when he ran and hid and complained and essentially said, Lord, it's just me that's left. And finally God came to him and said, you're not the only one left. And you need to stop thinking wrong. But let's walk through this together. Verse 1, how long, he says here in verse 1, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Does God forget his children? Of course not. Now, sometimes our feelings may tell us that we feel forgotten by God, and we may feel like our prayers aren't getting answered. We may feel like God isn't there, but that doesn't mean he's not there. Amen? Because didn't he promise in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? And so if you feel like God has forgotten you, he hasn't. If you feel like God isn't there, he is. And we need to be careful that we allow our feelings to get us into trouble. Let's go to Jeremiah 10:23 quickly if we could. And I just want us to be reminded this morning that oftentimes, when we're in the midst of trials, when we're in the midst of suffering and pain, our feelings make us think wrongly. And that's what was happening to David here. Notice Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. He says, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We don't know the answers, and we don't know the way. And we need to be careful about our feelings. And so David, firstly, he says, Lord, have you forgotten me? How long are you going to forget me? And by the way, God doesn't answer. Because God doesn't forget us. But then he goes on to say, back in our passage, Psalm 13, verse 1, how long will thou hide thy face from me? Again, does God hide his face from us? Does God take away his presence? Well, if we're Christians, no. Because he actually lives in us. Amen. We're his temple. So we never lose his presence. Now, we may not sense his presence if we're living in sin. There might be a time where God actually stops answering our prayers until we get the sin sorted out. But never does God forsake us. Never does God completely turn his back on us and say, I'm done with you. So if there is sin and God is chastising us, then we need to deal with it. But we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. Go to Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Just a beautiful promise that God gives here. God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give thee an expected end. That's God's thoughts toward us. Amen? But look at verse 13. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And so, no, God does not forget us, and he doesn't hide from us. Now, we often hide from him because of sin, but he never hides from us. But sometimes in the midst of trials, we can start thinking wrong. And that's what happened to David. So back to our passage, Psalm 13, verse 2 this time. And so, no, God has not forgotten us, verse 1. No, God will not hide from us, verse 1. Verse 2, how long shall I take counsel on my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? Now, it's okay to look inside to deal with sin. But we need to be careful about taking counsel in our soul. That verse we just read in Jeremiah 10. You know, if you're gonna take counsel with yourself, you may not be happy with the answers because we don't know the answers. So you need to be seeking counsel from the Lord. So you need to be seeking counsel from the Lord, not from inside. You know, the Bible says, Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. And yet David said, Lord, I'm taking counsel within myself. How long am I going to take counsel within myself? And how long am I going to go through this time of sorrow? And then the fourth one in verse 2, how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Well, it may feel like the enemy's winning. But I think the Bible says somewhere about we're more than conquerors to him that loved us. Amen. And the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. We could go on and on. If you're a Christian, the devil can't beat you. Now, he can attack you and he can knock you down a notch, but he will never defeat you because you have Jesus living inside of you. And Jesus made the devil. Remember that. But in the midst of trials, we often start thinking wrong. And that's exactly what was happening to David here. David, and most likely written in one of the caves while he's being chased by Saul. And he sat down and wrote, Lord, how long? How long is this going to go on? How long am I going to have to suffer? David knew that God had chosen him to be the new king, but he's thinking, when? Here I am running from Saul, literally running for my life. And yet I've been told I'm going to be the king someday. How long am I going to have to go through this? Sometimes we feel the same way. How long, Lord, am I going to have to go through this trial? Many of us might be in a trial right now, and it's been going on for years. And we're saying, how long? Well, the answer is we don't know how long. God knows how long, but we don't know. Actually, God talks about the length of our trials. If you go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, and I want you to see from God's perspective how long your trial will last. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction," verse 17, "which is but for a moment." Well, there you go. Now you know how long. But remember, a moment to the Lord, the Bible says one day to God is the same as 1,000 years. Time means nothing to the Lord. And when we get to heaven, we're going to look back and say, "I reckon that the sufferings of that present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory." Romans 8:18. We don't know how long, but we need to be careful when we're in the midst of trials about thinking wrong thoughts, thinking that God has turned His back on us, thinking that God has stopped caring about us, thinking that God's not listening, thinking that God's forsaken us and is allowing the devil or the enemy to beat us. None of those things are true. And again, you look at Elijah. He went through it too. He began to think wrong. So what's the answer? The answer is to go to prayer. Notice verse 3 of our passage here in Psalm 13. That's always the answer, is in the midst of your prayer, being honest with God, you need to just say, "Lord, I give it to you." Amen? Notice verse 3. "Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Light mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest mine enemies say I prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved." Go to God. Psalm 55:22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon him." Give it to God. Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Give it to the Lord. And that's what David is finally doing here. He's saying, "Lord, I will come to you. I will be honest with you about my pain, but I need to stop thinking wrong, and I need to just spend time with you and pray." And that's what we need to do. But honestly, the key word to this entire passage is the first word of verse 5. And that is the word "but." David here has been honest with God about his wrong thinking, about wondering how long the trial is going to last. And notice verse 5, a complete turnaround. "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." It doesn't matter how long the trial's been. It doesn't matter how painful it is. You can always stop and say, "But." These things are true. God loves me. God is with me. God won't turn his back on me. God is good to me. I can keep rejoicing in what he's done for me. I can keep singing, amen? And we'll talk about those specific things here in a moment. But I love how the psalm just turns around. And that needs to happen for each of us. When we're in the midst of a trial and the devil's there and he's got us thinking wrong, we need to stop and say, but God is real and these things are true. And the pain doesn't go away. But our perspective changes on the pain. And David had learned this. If you go to Psalm 119, I want to show you an example. Verse 67 of Psalm 119. And thankfully, David had learned this and it was able to reveal to us that David had learned this perspective that trials are actually good for us. Notice Psalm 119:67. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word." Look at verse 71. "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." And then look at verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. This is the same David. And so thankfully he had learned this great truth that afflictions are all part of God's plan for molding us and conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. And that we need to have that proper perspective. As we read 1 Peter 5:10, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And so let's see what David declared. What he did. What turned it around? What turned his attitude around? What turned his perspective around? The trial didn't change. And so let's look at it. Verse 5. I've trusted in thy mercy. So in the midst of a deep trial, what do we need to do? We need to stop and say, Lord, I trust you. That you're going to do the right thing. That you're a loving and you're a merciful God, and that you do make no mistakes. That's what he says in Proverbs 3:5, right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, even in the midst of suffering, even when it hurts, even when it's been a long trial, and we're saying, how long? We need to stop and say, but I trust the Lord. And that's what David said. Lord, I trust you. I trust you. 1 Corinthians 10:13, turn over there if you would. We can trust God that He's faithful and that He knows what we're going through because He allowed it and that He has a purpose in it. But notice 1 Corinthians 10:13, even when it comes to temptation, God allows it. The Bible says rejoice, right? For James 1:2, when you fall into divers temptations. But notice 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God is faithful. We can trust Him. And that's what David's saying. Lord, I'm going to trust you. It hurts. It's been a long trial. And it's been affecting my thought life. But I'm going to trust you. I've trusted in thy mercy. So trust the Lord. Then what does he say? Back from our passage, Psalm 13:5. My heart shall rejoice at thy salvation. You know, when a Christian's going through an intense trial and it starts affecting their thought life, one of the first things to go is rejoicing. They're not smiling, they're frowning. They're not rejoicing. They're complaining. And yet, doesn't the Bible say, rejoice in the Lord always? Philippians 4:4. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice evermore. You mean even when I'm hurting, I'm supposed to rejoice? That's what the Bible says. And that's what David was learning here. He says, I'm going through a horrible trial right now. I don't know how long it's going to be. And it's got me thinking wrong. But I need to trust God. I need to keep rejoicing. And that's the beautiful thing about Christians, amen, is it doesn't matter how bad of a situation we're in, certain things are always true. And we can always be rejoicing in those things. That we're saved, that God is with us, that heaven's our home. Those things never change. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. We can keep rejoicing in the Lord. Then he goes on to say in verse 6, I will sing. You know, one of the best medicines and when you're in the midst of an intense trial is singing. Imagine that. And David, again, had learned this. I will sing unto the Lord. Very simple sentence. Lord, how long? How long am I going to suffer? How long is this going to last? How long is it going to feel like that you're not there? How long is it going to feel like the enemy's winning? But I'm going to trust God. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. And I'm going to sing unto the Lord. Try it. next time that you're in an intense trial. Sing. Go to Psalm 42, verse 11, if you would. David says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Looks like David went through it more than once. "And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou on God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." He says, "Why am I cast down? Why is my soul depressed? I'm going to praise God." And that's the beauty of singing, isn't it? You're turning it around. And even though you may be hurting, you're praising God. And doesn't the Bible say, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? People often misinterpret that verse and think it's talking about congregational singing, and it's not. There's a place for congregational singing, and there's scriptures about it. But that verse there in Ephesians 5:19 is talking about singing just us to God. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. David said, "I will sing." So, no matter how bad the trial is, he says, "I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to sing unto the Lord." And then he finishes there in verse 6 of Psalm 13. "Because he hath dealt bountifully with me." In other words, I will remember what God has done. And that takes us to Psalm 77, if you turn over there. Anybody know the song, "Count Your Blessings"? Yeah, we all know that song. It's easy to count your blessings when things are going good. But God wants us to count our blessings when things are going rough. And that's what David said. "I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to sing unto the Lord. And I'm going to remember what God has done for me. I'm going to stop and count my blessings." Look at Psalm 77, verse 10. "And I said, this is my infirmity." It's one thing I love about David is he was just honest. He says, "But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old." He said, "I'm in the midst of trial right now, but I'm going to remember what God has done and how great he is." And if you're sitting here this morning, you're born again, you have a lot of things to remember that God has done for you. Starting with saving you from hell. And going on from there. All the blessings. Count them as we sing. So do you see the turnaround in this psalm and the turnaround in David's attitude? The trial doesn't change. That's the thing. The trial's still there. And it still hurts. But what changes is our perspective. And that is a conscious effort on our part to say, yes, it hurts. Yes, the devil's attacking. Yes, sometimes I start thinking wrong. I start thinking the devil's winning and God isn't listening and God isn't there. But those are wrong thoughts. So how do I combat them? What do I do about it? I need to be like David and say, no, I'm going to trust God in the midst of this trial. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to sing praises unto the Lord. And I'm going to remember all the great things he's done for me. It's all about perspective. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 quickly, if you would. Because let me tell you, the devil attacks us more in our thought life than anywhere else. And yet God commands us to fight that battle as well. I mean, yeah, he'll tempt us in different ways physically. And of course, we're told to resist him. But do you resist him in the mind as well? When the thoughts come, when the wrong thoughts come, like David's had come? Notice 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Look at verse 5. "Casting down imaginations." How do we do that? We're commanded to do it. How do we cast down imaginations? Well, David just showed us. We change our perspective. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, look at the next phrase, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Again, that's a command. How do we do that? How do we bring into captivity our wandering thought life that in the midst of trials often goes off in these non-biblical directions of believing that God has quit on us and God doesn't care and the devil's winning, none of which are true? What do we do about that? We do what it says right here. We bring it into captivity. By what? Saying, no, I trust the Lord. He always does the right thing. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord because I'm a Christian and I'm going to heaven. I'm going to sing praise unto the Lord because He's worthy of praise. And I'm going to remember all the great things God has done for me, like David did. And the perspective flips the other way. And God gets the glory. So how long? Don't know. Can't answer that question. It might be 10 years. Don't know. It might be the rest of your life. God knows, but we don't. But we can know that it will end someday. If not God stopping it, it'll end through death or the rapture. And then when we look back on it in the future, we'll say, wow, that was nothing. That was nothing compared to where I am now and what I have now. And I shouldn't have complained so much. I should have just praised God, trusted God, rejoiced in the Lord, and remembered how good God really is. Nothing angered God more when you look at Israel in the desert than when they complained. That God got God more angry than anything else they could have done because it showed a lack of faith. And they received more punishment from God in the desert for complaining than for any other thing. So let's not complain. Let's trust, rejoice, and praise and remember. Amen? How long? We don't know. But we know God never changes and God is good. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for reminding us how good you are.